Your Bibles to John chapter 14. Very familiar scripture. I know most of you probably know it by heart, or some of it. If you would stand for the reading of God's word. I appreciate the preacher asking me to speak. He texts me Wednesday and asked me if I could fill in tonight, and it's always an honor and a privilege to get to do something for the Lord. Amen. A lot of times we don't take advantage of the opportunities we have to do something for the Lord, and I'm thankful that I was able to speak tonight, and I'm thankful that he asked me. All right, John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, we'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you for being so good. We thank you for all your many blessings, God. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to open your word, God, and learn from it, God. I pray, God, that, Lord, you'll encourage us tonight, God. I pray, God, that I'll just be a mouthpiece for what you want us to hear tonight, God. Bless your word. Bless everyone that's here. Thank you for being so good. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So, you know, Jenny mentioned it a little bit. And by the way, she sang really well tonight. I appreciate it. She was going to make me sing with her, and I told her I would sing with her some, you know, since the boys was gone, but then the preacher asked me to speak, and that got me off the hook singing tonight. So yeah, she said, I'm going to let you off tonight since you got to speak. So I sure appreciate it. But, you know, our lives have changed a lot lately. You know, you think, or I thought, you know, when the kids were coming up and doing... And you're doing all that fun stuff, but you also start thinking, or I did, man, I'll be glad when they're gone. So it'd just be me and Jenny, and we can start doing stuff again, just me and her, and looking forward to that point in our life. And I got to tell you, this first month or so of it ain't so hot, just to be honest with you, because everything's different, you know. Luckily, it was bad when Tucker left. Luckily, thanks to Haley, Tucker come home every weekend in the first couple of years. And I appreciate that, Haley. I wouldn't see him much, but I'd see him on Saturday mornings usually and Sunday mornings, you know. So we did get to see him some, and we could talk to him all the time. You know, Tan's situation is a little different. We hadn't got to talk to him in like a month. And just to be honest with you, I've been kind of down, kind of blue. I've took it out on my wife because she asked me, what's wrong with you? You got to be better. You can't act like that. And I'm like, well, I wish I could flip a switch and not feel the way I feel, but I can't. And I know it's going to get better. I know it's going to get better. It's gotten better. You know, this is about the fifth week of empty nesting. And it's getting better, you know. But I was riding around Thursday after the preacher had texted me, you know, about, you know, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? What do you want me to speak on? What can we talk about? And it just, John 14 popped in my head. So if I had a message for tonight, it would be, let not your heart be troubled. Because whatever we got going on in our lives, you know, we've got enough God and enough Jesus to not let our hearts be troubled. You know, whatever. And so one of my daily prayers is when I'm praying for, you know, I pray for my church family and my Sunday school class, and you know, I always pray for Jenny and the boys. And one of my prayers for them is every day, Lord, bless them all abundantly. Lord, open up the windows of heaven and pour out your pour out your blessings on them. God, give them all the good things of life today, God. Give them joy and happiness and peace and contentment and satisfaction and a sense of worth, God, and love and laughter. And I got to thinking about that while I was riding down the road and said, you know what? I'd like to find the scripture to go along with all that. because it's here. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. You know, when I ask God to bless them abundantly, there's a ton of scriptures for all of this, by the way. You know, if you start looking at scriptures about God blessing his people, you can't count them. It's the whole book. But we're going to read a few of them. I told you I asked the Lord to bless them abundantly. And he gave me Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that we ask." The Bible tells us that God will bless us more than we ever ask. And we know it's more than we deserve because we don't deserve nothing. But he loves us so much that he'll open up the windows of heaven. I mean, look around this room. We are a blessed people, amen? We are a blessed people. Psalms 23:5 says, "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." That is the God we serve. And whenever we're down, whenever we're blue, whenever we're looking for a reason to be sad, what we need to do is look for a reason to be glad. And I'm learning that, and I'm working through it because I don't have anything to not be glad about. I told you that I prayed that God would give them, joy. John 15:11 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." It's God's will for your life that you are full of joy. Now, joy is a little bit different than happiness. I'm going to talk about happiness in a minute. But joy is forever. Joy is knowing that whatever's going on, I've got a Savior that I can call. I got hope. I've got God right there with me. I ask God to give them happiness every day. If you look at Philippians 4:4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." God wants you to be happy. It aggravates me, and my wife's fixing to get mad at me, because I'm fixing to have to blow my nose, and this mic's right under my face. And she gets mad just about anywhere I blow my nose. But I'm sure this is probably one of the worst places that I could blow my nose. So you might want to pause it. I don't know. Whatever you think, Ryan. But I couldn't breathe. I'm sorry, honey. I had to get it out. God wants you to be happy. His plan is to life and have it more abundantly. It bothers me when you meet Christians that are always unhappy. I've gone to church with Christians before in my life. The jokers didn't never seem to be happy. I'm like, what is the matter with you? They don't, nobody want what you got. You know, it's my job to share Jesus. I share that, you know, my life is a Bible that most people, the only Bible that most people read. And so when I'm, you know, when people know that I'm a Christian, that I'm a Jesus follower, and I'm grouchy and mean and grumpy all the time, they don't want none of that. You know what I mean? And you can't be mad and grumpy and grouchy all the time. What you looking at, honey? God wants you to be happy, amen. Peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now let the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." You know, peace is being able to lay your head down at night and not have a gazillion things running through your head worrying you to death. Look, there can be bad stuff going on. You know, the power bill might be higher than the checking account. Someone you love could be sick and all that. But you can have the peace that don't make sense. It's the peace that passeth understanding. It don't have to make sense. And God can give you that peace. You can be in a bad situation. Sometimes Jesus stepped out and calmed the storm. But sometimes Jesus stepped out and calmed the person in the storm. The storm kept on raging, but the person that was in the storm held on to Jesus and had peace that didn't make sense. And we've been there. We were, so this was just talking about how God can calm you. Tanner had just got his driver's license. We were going to Mom and Daddy's to eat for Easter evening. Daddy was going to cook out. Tanner said, I want to drive. Sure, Tan, you drive. Me and your mama's going to leave in a minute. We'll meet you there. And my mom and daddy live on Riverside, and we usually take University Drive to Riverside. And when you come around that curve over the big bridge right there where Preacher Mitch Ingram used to live, we come around that curve, and Jenny said, there's a truck on its side. That looks like that just happened. I said, yes. She said, you going to stop and help him? I said, of course. And about the time I got stopped, I said, that's Tanner. He had, you know, kids learning how to drive. I was terrible. I was terrible. I had a Jeep truck that was made out of more Bondo than anything else. But Tanner had went off this way, snatched it back this way, went up over to her truck, landed on its side. And normally that's a situation where my wife would be hysterical. My wife gets hysterical over way less than that. Way less than that. We stopped the car. She was calm as a cucumber. She got out. I run over there. The owner of the house brought me a hammer. I busted the back glass, and Tanner climbed out. The only scratch he had on him was when he stepped through that back glass, he scratched his calf. But my wife said that day, she said, I don't know what it was. When we stopped, I just had a peace about me. And I know exactly what it was. It was God, because she's a child of the King. And that peace will help you sleep at night. You know, I'm telling you, if you're saved, you don't need to be staying up all night worrying about all your problems. Because you can either give them to God or you can carry them. And you got to trust them. You either believe in this word or you don't. I listen to a lot of J. Vernon McGee. My Sunday school class hears about him all the time. He's an old-time preacher. He's so old, he remembered the first, obviously he's dead now. But one of his stories, he talks about the first automobile they ever saw in their town. And how some of the old men said that would never last, it'll never replace the horse and buggy. And what I listen to is around the 60s and 70s where he's commentating on the Bible. And he talks about how, you know, the worst sin, you know, if you ask somebody, what's the worst sin that you can have? You know, people say murder, rape, all kinds of bad, nasty stuff. He says the worst sin is unbelief. He said, and the sad thing is we're all guilty of it. Because if we fully believed this word, we'd act different. We'd live different. If we believed what God told us in this word, we'd have peace. Contentment. I always pray to have my children, my family are content in where God has them. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That's Paul talking. This is a man that was a high-ranking Pharisee, probably one of the Sanhedrin. He was there, and the Bible tells us that he held the coats while Stephen, the first deacon, was stoned. And it ain't so much that he held the coats. They laid the coats at his feet because he was probably the one in charge that day of having Stephen stoned. And this Paul, who once he was Saul, God saved him and he became Paul. He became just as on fire for God as he ever was for religion. And he preached the gospel and was the greatest evangelist that probably ever lived. But by doing all that, he was beaten with whips. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned to death. He was shipwrecked multiple times. He was in prison multiple times. And that's him saying, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. And a lot of times, us, everybody, not just Christians, everybody, you know, we always want more. We always want something else. And, you know, I sometimes joke with my wife about, and in the man cave, I'd say this, and I'd say, hey, don't never, this is man cave stuff. You can't say this outside the man cave. But my wife sometimes suffers from FOMO, fear of missing out. Don't you shake, don't do like that. You know it's bad. It's bad. She's ate up with it, to be honest with you. I was being polite. And it drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. You know what I mean? What we've got to learn how to do is be content wherever we're at and whatever situation we're in. I always pray that they have a feeling of worth. Psalms 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are my works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Matthew 10:29-31 says, Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are more valuable than many sparrows. What is your worth? I know, do any of y'all ever feel worthless? Feel of no value? Because I do sometimes. I do. I'm just going to be honest with you. I do. But you are worth so much that the King of Glory one day stood up beside God the Father. And I talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning. He stepped out of heaven, just like we taught in Sunday school this morning in adult classes. The high priest made the first, it was the first day of atonement where he made the sacrifice for the sins of all of Israel. And he took off all of his fancy clothes and put them to the side. And he put on just linen clothes to go do the sacrifices and perform those tasks. One day Jesus stood up and he put aside heaven and he stepped out into a manger in Bethlehem and put on lowly clothes for you and me. And that he did that for you and for me. And that's your value. That's what, how much are you worth? You're worth so much that Jesus Christ came, lived on this earth, and died on a cross for you. That's what your value is. And so a lot of times when we start feeling worthless and of no value, you got to think about what God thought of you. He thought enough of you to die for you, to save. He thought enough of you. A lot of times when I pray too, I say, God, thank you for loving me, saving me, keeping me, and feeding me. Because he loves me so much, he didn't just stop with saving me. He's blessed me with a wonderful family. He's blessed me with a wonderful church. He's blessed me with a good job. He's blessed me with good friends. You know, his blessings just keep coming and coming and coming. I pray that they have a feeling of satisfaction. Verse 9, Psalms 107 verse 9 says, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry with goodness." Isn't it good to be satisfied? Isn't it good to feel satisfied and not always be wanting and needing to be satisfied? I pray that God always give my family laughter. The Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." God wants you to be happy. It's good to laugh. Amen. It's good to laugh. It's good to smile. I know that you have stuff happen in your life where the laughter's gone for a while. You know, I know, you know, me and Brother Terry's real tight. Me and Terry's as close as family it can be. You know, we're tight. We're family, even though there's not really any blood there. But I know when Charles died, it hurt Terry for a long time. I mean, for a long time. We'd be working on something, and he'd tell me that, yeah, me and Charles worked on this right before. And it had been a year or two. You know, and so I know stuff happens in your life, and it sucks the joy out of your life, and it sucks the happiness out of your life, and it sucks the laughter out of your life. But you got to think about all these things and think about God and have something to hold on to know that it won't be that way forever. You know, it won't be that way forever. I always pray that God would give my family a sense of being loved and loving somebody. You know what I mean? And Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." How much did God love you? He didn't die for the Gavin sitting on the pew with his wonderful family. He died for the old Gavin that was running around wild. You know, he didn't die for the David that's standing up here behind this pulpit. He died for the old one, the one that died. And you're the same way. You know, I think a lot of times we get in church and we get so clean, we forget how dirty we used to be. And when we do that, we don't know how to reach the lost anymore. But God loves us, and he put that love in us. You know, it's good to love somebody. It's good to have somebody to love. I'm telling you, my wife and I, we have a, you know, and I guess a lot of people are, but like ever since, even when we were dating, like we bicker a lot. You know what I mean? That's just kind of how we communicate. We do, woman. See, she's fussing. She's arguing with me right now, and I'm standing right here. And so that's just how we communicate. But it's good to know that she loves me. You know what I mean? And that whatever happens, she's got my back. You know what I mean? And I know that I'm loved. And it's good for her to know that I love her. And whatever happens, I got her back. Listen, even if she's wrong, I'm with her. You know what I mean? I had a buddy one time. He got into a little issue with the law, to be perfectly honest with you. But anyway, I said, hey, Bo, I got you back. You my buddy. I love you. You love me. I got you. If you go down, we're going to go down together. And, you know, it's good to be loved and to love somebody. Speaking about love, God loved you so much that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much God loved you. So, you know, I'm telling you all this stuff that, to be honest with you, I think that God was just talking to me this week through all this. And so I appreciate you letting me get up here and talk to myself for a little while. And hopefully you can take it and use it. Because I know we live in hard times. Our world is a mess. But here's the thing. It's always been a mess. You can go all the way back to the beginning of time. We were talking in Sunday school not long ago. And recorded history, we have recorded history for about the last 3,500 years. We know the world's older than that and all that. But we have recorded history for about the last 3,500 years. Of that time, world peace has only existed for less than 200 years. So there's always wars. There's always going to be fighting. There's always going to be people. Us people can't get along. But God loves us. Amen. And, you know, he loves you so much that Jesus died for you. And whenever you're feeling blue, start thinking about the good stuff. Whenever you start feeling down, start thinking about the good stuff and the goodness of God. I'd ask Jeannie actually to sing that song because I love it. It says that one line or the tag says, your goodness is running after me. And it is all the time. God's goodness is constantly chasing you. It's really up to you whether you take it or not and you accept it. Can you come sing that again? Thank you for being here tonight. I know a lot of times when the preacher announces he's not going to be here tonight, kind of fall off, but it don't bother me. I'm coming either way. You know what I mean? I'm happy, and I'm happy you're here. But when you get blue, think about how much God loves you. Amen. If you would stand.